What was that song? Well, I don't know. That's very funny, Hardy, because it's your show. Here's something even funnier. I wrote that song, and I still don't remember what it is. Or rather, I kind of remember it now that I'm hearing it. The theme of the show tonight is going to be songs or things that I wrote and recorded for the show that I don't quite remember, or rather, I didn't remember until I heard them. Now I sort of remember doing it. And that's it. Now I'm going to say it again. No, I'm not, because it was a very long title. And the longer a title is, the more descriptive it is, but the less memorable it is. So, for example, the Michael Mann movie, The Keep. Oh, that's a short title. What's it about? Oh, good Lord, I can't remember. Something scary, and there was the fella from Hill Street Blues was in it, that actor, and you're yelling out his name because he's a household favorite. He was the sergeant on Hill Street Blues that you all see in the morning, your homeroom teacher. And there was a one on for 4 years before that, but he passed away. And he used to say, be careful out there. And I say that too. Hey, be careful out there, because there's lots of things lurking. And you turn to the radio a lot of times, or television now, or social media, to have people tell you what to be scared of. I'm here to tell you what to be not scared of, because it doesn't exist. So I'm just going to say things that aren't true and that aren't real, and they can't cause any fear. Isn't that true? Well, they could if I insisted they were real, but I don't. I insist they're not. We are propagandists for the imagination here. That's meaningless. And we love meaninglessness because it's locale, really, for the soul. If you're going to be taking something in, you want to make sure it's pure, it's good, like food. But if you're just going to be not eating, it doesn't matter what you not don't eat. And that's what this show is aimed at. So anyway, I went through all my files, and I make songs, sometimes for the show, sometimes I just do them. See, I am compelled to put things together. And I make compositions. I am a composer. Well, that's very lofty. I didn't say I was good. You can describe yourself as anything you want in the world, because there's a whole slew of adjectives that could go on there and modify it for you and make it more truthful. But you could say you're a musician. You don't have to be good at it. People always say that. Oh, I'm not really an artist. I bet you are. I bet you just suck. And that could be. You can be both. Oh, my goodness. You're never not a human being. But some people are miserable, horrible human beings whose days we count because they're bringing us suffering and grief. But then there's others who are what they call stellar, or like a star. We have so many stars. I'm not a star. Gosh, I just want to be ordinary. Ordinary like a diamond. And that's not very ordinary. It is kind of. I'm bored with them. Aren't you? If I was wealthy, I'm so bored with diamonds. What do you want? What, you want to hunt humans? No, nothing like that. What do I want to do? Watch television. Everything else I'm so bored with. Well, I like to make things, and I make them for no reason a lot of times. Now, having a radio show is fantastic, because you say, well, I've made this weird song, and now I can do something with it. I have the type of, I don't know what it is, debilitation or superpower, where I watch something. Let's say I watch a bunch of Gilligan's Island, and I'm like, I am taken with this background music. It's just blending in. But there's just so much bassoon, and it's used to such comic effect. Oh, my goodness. That bassoon's having a good time. And I wanted to do that. So I will go into my recording program and pull up all my things, and I'll do something Gilligan's Island-y. And then I'll think, well, now what do? I have a radio show. I will have my characters be on an island or something. I do like that. So those are things that you're going to hear this evening. Or I get ideas for songs, and I think I'll have somebody from the show do it, and that'll give it some context. So this first thing I'm going to play, some of these things I played on the show, some maybe not. Some are variations that didn't make it on, like that first thing is a slowed down version of something I did use. Sometimes I'll just do different speeds of things and say, what does this sound like? This is amazing, Arnie. It's not, though, because it's pointless. But I'm just telling you things that I'm doing to pass the time before I die. which could be a long time from now. So I'm just, that's why I'm spending so much time on it. And this thing coming up is, there's a song, a bunch of artists have done it. And it's the ink is black, the page is white, the world is black, the world is white, together we learn to read and write and things like that. Sometimes we do. So I thought, well, somebody's probably done this before, but I'm going to take it and I'm going to take the W from white and ack from black and say the world is whack and just loop. The world is whack. And I thought, well, why am I going to do that? And I thought, well, maybe Lou can rap over it. Now, never tell anybody these things because they all sound like terrible ideas because they are. But then you wouldn't do them if someone said that. Say, hey, I've got this idea. It's going to be a rap musical called Hamilton. And they go, oh, is it a parody? And say, no, it's a real thing. And then you do it, and my gosh, it hit. Now, that's very rare, because a lot of times it's more like me, and I'll say, I want to do this. He's rapping about it. Someone's saying, no, don't do that, please. And then I'll go ahead and do it, because I'll think, well, why don't they want me to do it? Just because I'll embarrass myself? And I think, well, that's a great reason to do it, because I'm always looking for spiritual challenges. And one of them is surviving humiliation, which is a very good one. And then if you can do that, you can learn a sort of compassionate detachment where you really feel for people. And at the same time, you can't be harmed because you've already been harmed or something. You're just a big pile of humiliated mush. And then you feel, now I am truly free. But that's the case a lot of times. And I think that's all right. You know, there's all sorts of ways that you can spin your life to make it seem like you're a spiritual master or something. Well, here is Lou doing The World is Whack.
The world is black. The world is black. The world is black. The world is black.
The world is whack. That's a fact. I looked it up in a stack of crack magazines a while back. You said Hoboken. I thought you said Hackensack. In that case, here's a Big Mac and a pack of Phillips Golden Blacks. I can hear your lips smack. I can hear your heart attack. You don't lack subtlety, fellow School of Hard Knocks faculty buddy. What'd you think was going to transact? Anyway, Jack, I got clackers from the 70s going to smack your skull, send a crack down the side like a fontanelle or Liberty Bell. I'm going to goof on your product's name like a Spiegelman Wacky Pack. Like I'll say iCAC for iMac or Star Burp with a pick of a guy belching Alpha Centauri. Sorry, not sorry. If it hurts, you should use it more. Go have a light snack and eat a lamp. Hardcore fakers lie on beds of liquid nails, shaking to make it look like a trance. Tip, stamp your website on your old business cards instead of printing more. Lick the floor like a beagle if you're bored. I got more, but there's a time limit for reasons I'll ignore. Suffice it to say, I like it that way. Nice of you to stay. Most leave by now. Hey, there's a thing after the gig if you've no big plans, with wigs and fans and French royalty sans suntans and pants even. If you don't leave early evening and can make it to the part where the king gets naked. And the world is whack. The world is whack.
Now, I couldn't tell you for the life of me the context of that. I don't know the show that I worked it into or what I was trying to say or what, you know, I'm sure Lou was done. And they said, hey, do you like my new rap song? And Butchie said, no, you shouldn't have done that kind of thing. Because a lot of times what you're hearing is my inner dialogue and not monologue, because there's little characters saying it in my head. They're all represented. There's a sort of star chamber of self-criticism going on in there all the time. And very few advocates for me. Sometimes my representative doesn't even show up. And there's just voices in my head arguing against me, which I'm against. I think that's, who needs that? And they can be absolutely paralyzing, the way any kind of board can be when you set out to do something. You know, have a project, you all have to run that by the board, and you think it's never going to get done. If you're running it by a whole panel of people. And I've always thought that about the entertainment business. Like, how does anything really get made? You know, by the time it's, well, we have to run it by a lot of people, some of whom are very powerful morons, or they're nervous, or they're very concerned with money, or they have no real concern about art or people, or and so you think, well, then God, this is how does anything get made or done? I bought a house one time from the Salvation Army. The way people buy coats, it had been a manse, and the major had lived there or whatever. And so I had to buy it not from an individual, but from a nonprofit corporation. And that took a very long time because I all had to meet and everything. Not that anybody objected to it. It's just that, you know, even something like that, you got to wait for the next board meeting. And so and everything else. So when I want to do a song, I go ahead and do it. And they're like, what are you doing this for? Is it going to be released? I go, no. And there's never anything is not ever good enough to for that. Well, are you going to use it on the show? I don't know. Or are you going to make it a pretend theme from a non-existent TV show or something? Who knows? So I just do the song. Sometimes I'll show them to friends. But I don't let anything stop me. Like, oh, well, that's a why are you doing it? Well, those voices are in my head, but I just pretend that they're speaking another language. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't understand you. And there is no in the land of self-critique, I do not allow Duolingo. I don't want translations. I don't want those voices. I have the ones that hold me back from doing wrong, I hear very loud and clear. But the ones that are there to save me from futility or embarrassment or anything like that, they're pointless. I don't need them. And not at this phase in my life anyway. So here's the rest of my song, Calling Elmer Doo-Doo, which I shared a little bit with you before, but I've now finished it, and it's very exciting, and I took myself out to dinner for finishing it, and there you go, and now and it has won countless awards. It hadn't, though. See, that's the thing. I don't need that. Yes, you do. I don't really, though. I need, like, little things. It really is the little things, and a lot of them. And this is why I relate to my elderly beagle more and more, are food. My beagle is down to just food, nothing else, no toys, to play, nothing. We are just food and sleep. I mean, he's still full of energy, but all that energy is directed at getting and begging for food. And I love that. What a great spirit. So basic. Calling Elmer Doo-Doo, are you calling Elmer Doo-Doo too? Calling Elmer Doo-Doo, are you calling Elmer Doo-Doo too?
That was Calling Elmer Doo-Doo,
coming in to number 3. And now, a doggy death dedication.
No, that is, oh, what a dream that would have been. Have Casey Kasem announce my song. So that's one I did for you. Thank you, Artie. You don't have to thank me. Just pay me lots of money. No, don't do that either. My goodness. So I just had, you had that in you. And like anything, like a stone, sometimes we have to pass kidney stones or whatever. And other times it's songs or novels. Novels someone has to get out of them, just like excrement. And then they say, don't you want this? Don't you want to spend some time with all my thoughts like that? I say, oh, I guess so. Here, I think this is better. I don't know why. But you can't throw it across the room as well as a book if you don't like my show. But you can change the channel, I suppose. I don't know how many of you are listening on a proper radio tuner. Probably not as many as there used to be. I know there's one old-timer who listens to me on a crystal set. And I think that's so amazing. And then there's a space traveler who, I don't know, listens to me. They try to describe it to me, but it just sounds like there's a thing in their head, in their ear, that they can pick up radio waves like the same way we can hear screams or something. I'm not sure how that works. So here's something else I composed. I was listening to a lot of Bob James, and I don't know if you know Bob James. He did like Nautilus and things like that. Well, why would I know that? Well, now here I need a taxi. But you would know him because he's the number one most sampled musician in hip-hop. And you hear him everywhere. So I was listening to a lot of them, and I thought it'd be funny if we did a thing where Lou had composed some 70s smooth jazz that then Butchie stole and made into a rap song. And then my friends went, no, don't do that. I go, oh, that's a great idea, isn't it? No. So I did it, and I thought that was fun and great. So I imagined it was called, because I was looking through all these Bob James titles, and I thought, oh, a good Bob James title would be called Nugget or Naugahyde or something. I forget what I thought it called. Maybe it was Naugahyde. But maybe he's got one called Nugget. Maybe that's what I thought about. But, and so you get excited about something. You hear a sound. That's the way, I guess painters learn to paint that way. You know, you copy other people's things. You see it and you go, I wonder if I could do that. And I do that with music a lot of times. I'll hear something. So if I hear, I did that with Scooby-Doo. I was listening to all that Scooby-Doo. That could have been Gilligan. I get them all confused. They all are Addams Family. But it's great music, and I wanted to be able to recreate it or, hear how it's put together and then go do it. And parody is a good way of doing it, just copying. So I wanted to do that. I thought I'll just listen to it and try to recreate it. And then you learn a little something about music. And because I'm somebody who enjoys learning things for their own sake, which is a good way of doing it, and it gives me fun. The excitement of discovery, the euphoria of being able to do something that you didn't think you'd be able to do, did that come out of me? That's just as exciting. If you've studied for years and you're making music, that's great, and you still get those moments, I'm sure, but when you just approach an art or something, and the first time you make something that sounds, pleasing to you or interesting to you, it's exciting. So here's Nugget, Nuggetless by Lou.
Here's a bit of my 70s smooth jazz song, Nuggetless. Here's Butchie's rap song, Lynchland. Sweeping up the bar, the crepe in the car. This time you've gone to Jamie Farr. Room, 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 the red rooms.
some kind of soul tomb? Log Lady Log Flume in the Lynch theme park, parasitic Twin Peak launch soon. I said launch, not Lynch. Far out space, these nuts don't flinch. I got a low brow, okay? Steal your meager cow, okay? Total ripoff.
You know, the way that people in the past talked about their ancestors or their parents is the way a lot of people my age talk about Far Out Space Nuts or Gilligan's Island or something. And that is because there was, at least for me, some confusion about where the television ended and my life began and everything. You know, television was still basically in its infancy when myself and my peers were subjected to it uninterrupted a lot of times, just plop down in front of it. And because, here's the thing, you know, with the internet, your whole parents should monitor what their children are seeing on the internet. And that is a good idea. And so, you know, if you're really paying attention, you can, you know, you should be there. But the television, you see, there was this assumption that everything was fine because there's such censorship and everything. There wasn't any really racy stuff or bad words or anything like that. So you'd think, well, the child can just watch this without me there to explain anything to them. So what happens is exactly like F. Pinocchio. Because when you're left alone, like you're watching your cartoon and, you know, everything's going fine and you're watching some old innocuous Popeye from the 30s because they haven't bothered to, you know, they're just showing you stuff that they showed your grandparents when they were abandoned by their parent. Here's a nickel, go to the theater. So that kind of thing. And you're sitting there, yeah, go, you watch your Popeye. And then in between, you are subjected to just absolute hardcore propaganda for products. Just unbelievable psychological manipulation of the highest order. The kind, you know, basically designed by Edward Bernays, the nephew of Freud, and the, you know, the godfather of PR and ad campaigns, and just these things absolutely designed to drill into the psychology of very young people. And boy, oh boy, that went on uninterrupted so that Madison Avenue, they call it, to make it nicer, was just absolutely inside of all these heads. And you know what it did? Well, just look at people my age. I feel infantilized. I feel still like I feel it made me a perpetual child or something. My first most basic lessons had to do with sugary cereals or something, or some sort of desire, like immediate gratification or begging my parents for a certain cereal, which you can superimpose on the world and see that same strategy people use for God or the universe. You know, they stomp their feet and they cross their arms and they demand something, and I've got to have a pony, the frosted kind. Oh, I thought you meant an actual pony. No, little edible ones. And so you have to go, you know, and because it's all driven by the products and everything like that. And all the cartoons are just there. They're just there so when the parents poke their heads in the room, they go, everything's all right. Yes, I'm watching the cartoons. But they're not watching the cartoons. They're watching the advertisements. And people would cross over, right? So I'd see like, oh, there's, I like Charles Nelson Reilly. He's funny and silly. Oh, now he's selling me a pen. So they're, you know, I'll get a pen because Charles Nelson Reilly is funny. And that just sticks there forever. And then those figures and those images, they have sway over you for a long time. You have to get them out of your head. The real people have to commit heinous crimes. So you go, oh, maybe that's not my dad. Maybe he's just a bad person trying to sell me ice cream novelties. I'm trying to be as vague as possible talking about Bill Cosby. But that kind of stuff, oh my goodness. But anyway, I watched a lot of television. I still kind of enjoy it. And you start enjoying it, you go, I enjoy it like in a campy, ironic way. And then you come to realize, I enjoy it because I'm empty and shallow. And do I embrace this? No, I'm trying not to. What I've been doing, though, is for a while I went on this kick where I was writing my own themes to old TV shows. Now, it kind of started with parody. It was like, oh, I'm going to make it sound like it's Bob James or something. I think that's where it started. And then I was like, oh, the heck with that. What if they just gave me the show and said, Hardy, we want you to do a theme song for this new TV show. I'm on it, man. People have done that with movies and everything. I've been approached so many times. Only one time, thank you, Chris, has anybody actually used my music in their movie. So I do appreciate it. But they certainly have been. I've been asked to contribute. I'm not. So if you do have a television show, I don't know who's listening. But I'll do the theme, and it won't. I don't know how good it'll be. I'm just going to tell you that right now. So this is one I did for Gilligan's Island, and I made it a lot more serious because I thought, I don't know that this was treated with too much frivolity, I think, the original.
Tragedy often strikes at unexpected times and in unlikely places. An ordinary island boat tour, the type tourists take every day. The sea is like a dream, and you sail off in search of peace. But the sea is unpredictable, and when those summer storms roll in, they are fierce and merciless. And they have taken the crew and passengers of the SS Minnow, never to be seen again. Among the missing and presumed dead, Gilligan, the skipper, a millionaire, and his wife, a movie star, a professor, and a Marianne, gone. Gone forever.
Gilligan's Island, it's a tragedy. It can be seen as a tragedy. And very interesting. Not really. Yes and no. Oh, my goodness. You know, the SS Minnow was named after Newton Minow, who was the TV is a Vast Wasteland guy, who just recently died. So I guess TV showed him. It outlasted him. Only the good die very old, but younger than TV. This coming up, what is it? What, I forget what it, oh, I know what it was. So I've been listening to TV recently, and I guess I was listening to The Mandalorian or something. But even before that, I thought, hey, who would have thought that like the most sci-fi other planet instrument would be like the bass recorder or something, or like a giant didgeridoo-sized shakuhachi flute or something. So I've slowed down. I wanted to do like a Mandalorian thing. So this is just the raw sound effect, and I'll just let it play. I'll talk over it. So I slowed down my recorder. It sounds like a scary old... I picture like a Japanese movie where there's a guy walking in the desert. Maybe it is like vaguely Kurosawa kind of nod. Right? Right? The samurai is walking across the desert. And he used to be in a recorder combo where everybody had different size of recorders from the very small. And they'd play, obviously, they played like Zeppelin and things that actually have recorder in them, but they would also do just kind of spooky New Age things, too. And now he's lost, the poor samurai in the sand, and he collapses. But now we see he's not a samurai, he's a space samurai knight, warrior knight. And that they can, I don't know. You know, I wonder what they say that what the metals are and everything, but they hold up against zappers, space zappers and everything, and they don't really describe what the technology is. I bet people really into that that have an idea. I think I know what we're looking at, but I don't. It's just laser beams or phasers. I guess they're phasers. We have those in music. We use them. We do a lot of things. We do phasing, but it doesn't hurt anyone. You know, it just ends up sounding like Ritchie Blackmore or something. So you can do it. When you do it in music, it's harmless. I guess there's music that isn't harmless. You know, like there's a lot of Broadway stuff, especially the older stuff. Oh, that really hurts me. If I have to, I don't know what it is about music. It really does make people have strong opinions, though. It's really difficult to say. Very few people go, I like all music, I guess. You're thinking, oh, you're not thinking very hard about it if you don't have an opinion. It is something that almost demands you to say what you think. You know, oh, I like that. Hey, that's peppy. People comment on it without being asked if they are moved by it. Hey, what's this? And if it's really bad, you go, oh, what's this, Tom Waits? And go, yes, it is Tom Waits. It's time to leave the party. Okay, I got the hint. So stuff like that, you know, and but I don't know anybody who's just not affected by it one way or the other. I don't like to be super critical of particular artists because I fear them. You know, they have money to sue and everything, and what do I have? Just my opinion. No, that's not why. But I know I'm not sure why people like certain things. And bless him, if someone can get joy out of something, I hate to crap on it. But I will if it's, I might if you put it on at my house or something. I'm not against criticism, you know. I just don't think I have any part in it, right? I mean, I think I'm for critics, I think. I'm just not, why would you care what I thought in particular? And especially don't ask me what I think if we're friends and you're in a band and I've just gone to see you and you go, what do you think? Because I'm not going to, I mean, it's probably going to be a lie, whatever comes out of my mouth. So I don't know what to say. I want people to lie to me, pretty much. But I don't ask, what did you think? I just stand there and go, oh, that was okay, like that. And they go, it was incredible. You were great. Really? You think so? But I can tell. If you're a performer or everything, you ever gotten off stage and you go, man, I don't think I'm so good tonight. And people go, oh, no, you're fine. Thank you, but I don't believe you. So I guess I really wish we would all be better about lying to our favorite performers and just, you know, needlessly flattering them. They don't need us to bring them down. I always thought that there's a certain type of personality. I think they do it with relationships, too, that they feel like their job is to bring you down if you have too much self-confidence or self-love or you think you've done something right or something like that. They feel like it's their job to set you straight, you know, bring you down a peg. You know, you're just a little too self-satisfied. That's never anybody's job. That's not a job, in my opinion. That's not a job. I got some harsh words for those who would freelance in it. Because, gosh, I don't know, maybe you're trying to just play some kind of psychological game, you know, where I go, well, I respect you're the only one who'll be honest with me. But that's not what it is. It's abusive manipulation. It's like that. Don't ever fall for that, you know. I'm the only one who'll be straight with you about your music. Stick with me. You suck. No. And then you get, it's a thing, and then you try to perpetually please them and can't, and mm-mm. No. I just absolutely surround myself with benign flatterers. Not benign ones, but like, you know, ones that, like if you were hanging out with some enlightened spiritual person, and they, and you were like, oh, you know, my guru's here or whatever. You know, what'd you think of the show? And they smile at you and they go, it's creation is joyous or something like that. You go, oh, thank you. Yes, you can be happy with me, for me. And, you know, there's no reason
to feel like you need to temper my joy or something that may be, my happiness. It really is threatening when we love ourselves. So there's those who just can't handle it. And it's horrible to have to tell people to do it in secret, especially because it doesn't come out well. And you go, well, you should love yourself in secret. Well, that doesn't sound good. You know what I mean? But you should, sometimes you have to. You go, God, I got to pretend not to be self-confident. And I think people learn this at very young ages. I have women friends especially said, well, I had to pretend not to be confident and smart when I was younger. And people were threatened by it or something. That must end. So that's I'm just saying I'm here for you to understand that Hardy wants you to love yourself enough to do and make and create and be without feeling like you're failing at something that has no success or failure in it. Really. So I hope I want to liberate all my friends so that they can feel the real joy of invention and composition and play.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bunny's Bar and Grill would like to present the Swank.
Okay, I totally remember what that was from. So that was a bar on this. I did like a Gilligan's Island thing. It was actually an homage to Return to Gilligan's Island, I think it was. There was a couple of reunion shows, and one of them, I think they went back. I hope I'm not imagining this, but I hope I am. They went back to the island and opened a hotel, and I thought that'd be great. So I did an episode where all the crew was stranded on this island, but then they went back after they got free. They had a parade for them. Then they went back to start this hotel together, and that was at the club at the hotel. And that was, and I was, remember, I was proud because then the next scene is that like EQ'd, like, so it sounds like it's in the distance and it's them outside of the club talking. So I was, oh boy, I'm getting really good at this. I'm going to get hired for one of these BBC radio shows, probably, to do all of it by myself. No, they wouldn't. That doesn't work that way. Really, I'm not looking for a job at this point in my life. I am, though. That's so, I'm always am. We're always looking for work because, we live in a day and age where you're going to work to the grave. So keep that paycheck coming in. I'll even need it posthumously because they make you pay for the casket and everything. So I'm not afraid. I'll find it. Here's this is a weird one because this is just typing, but it's me typing. It's not a sound effect I bought or anything. Note to self. Remember to get ribbon for Mom's 1960s Royal. The one on which I typed a lot of high school essays, including such things as essays, tests, lists. I don't know, padded. But this is the type. This is the same typewriter, and I'm very glad I kept it. It's an old. It's what they paint cars in. It looks like Nardo gray. It's what they paint some sports cars in now. But it's an old Royal typewriter, and it's what they call manual. It wasn't electric or anything. You hit it, and it's a mechanical device. And I still love them. I think they are coming back. People like to play with them and everything, and I can still get ribbon for it. And so I've used it in when I'm doing, like, old Rockford Files or something. You know, Rockford, get in here. I'm typing up a report. In reality, in the 70s, they might have been using IBM Selectrics already, which are crazy with that crazy space ball on it that has all the letters and symbols in the world on a ball. And if it doesn't, there's other balls. You just put another ball on, and then it'll do italics or another font. It's amazing. And it's just this ball zipping around like that. I don't know who thought of that. I had a really terrible typewriter briefly in college. It was a thermal one, and it typed on thermal paper, which is hilarious. Because, like, you know, your professor could go, I got your essay. Unfortunately, you know, I stuck it on the radiator, and now it's black. So I was just wondering, did you redact the whole thing, or is it on thermal paper? So that didn't work out too well. But I had that one for a while, and... So those don't really, the sound effects on them aren't any good. That's the thing about sound effects. Sometimes they're not exactly what you, I'm trying to, let's see if I can find it. I had on this Gilligan's Island one, I remember there was an airplane. It called for an airplane. It called for an airplane. Me, I'm calling for it. I see here in the script I have written old rickety airplane. So I needed like an engine sound, an old prop engine. And I believe that this coming up is my lawnmower slowed down. So... I was wondering if I could run your plane, old-timer. What do you say? I said I was wondering if I could run your plane, old-timer. Let me shut my plane off. What did you say? I wonder if I could rent your plane, old-timer. What did you say? So something like that, and, that was great. What great fun. And that was, I went to a lot of work for that episode, and I remember it not being good. Or so, not being good. No, that's not it. I guess when you put a lot into something, you have expectations, and they're just the worst expectations are. That file was labeled Resort Gilligan, which must have been for that episode. This one coming up, it said OS blank 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 gong. So I think what it is. Oh, yeah. That's when you see a scary, ominous thing, like, oh, no, here come the, you know, the coming off of the boat onto the shore to come get us. And so that's what that one's for. I don't know what it's inspired by. It might have been inspired by Doctor Who or Gilligan. I went on a thing with the Doctor Who and Star Trek, so you'll hear a lot of like, bum, 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 bum. And this one's called Suspense. I'm not sure what this is. Ah, yeah. I'm sneaking around. shadows. Suspenseful. One time for my birthday, my friend John got me a cameo, one of those cameos you can pay a celebrity to say hi to you. It's freaky. When it first started, it was freaky because people would get, you know, something in the mail for you, Nipsey Russell was long dead. I don't know who it'd be. I don't know. So Hans Conrad saying hello to you, your name here. Oh, he's also dead. It's live celebrities. So I can't think of any live celebrities, but I know there are some. Well, he couldn't either. So he got John Davidson, who used to be on, I think he's on Real People, and he hosted Hollywood Squares for a while. Maybe the other fella died. And he would, song and dance man, big, bright smile and good hair, and he is, his thing now is he's still alive. So he got me one of these things. Now, I don't know if you're supposed to cut it up and sample it and use it on your radio show. I think it says don't. But here's something I know for a fact. He doesn't listen to the show. So that's great. So I'm probably okay.
Miracle Nutrition. Hardy White. Miracle Nutrition. Hardy White. On WFMU, New York City. Hi, this is John Davidson. This is an older John Davidson. Anyway, Hardy White, congratulations on Miracle Nutrition. That's what a great title. On WFMU, Miracle Nutrition. On WFMU, Hardy White. Miracle Nutrition. Hardy White. On WFMU, Hardy White. Hardy White. Hardy White. Hardy White. Hardy White. Yeah, we're hot.
I love, I like that. Isn't that great? I was so excited by that. Anytime you want to do that and pay somebody, you try to find somebody obscure that only I would know about. Only I would know about. I'm the only person my age. You know what I mean? Somebody that was, somebody that was on a sitcom for like a year, like the guy who was on Taxi, just the first season. He was one of the regulars. I don't know what you're talking about. See? Something like that. And that'd be exciting to me. I love that. I love that lives are so, sometimes they're so long. There's all sorts of stages of them. You can do all sorts of things. I used to think that as a kid, you know, because of the television, I thought, was I on the Brady Bunch? I mean, maybe, you know, I have some really vivid memories. Maybe I was on the show. So that would happen when I was very young. And that seems healthy. Well, now, coming up is one of the favorite things I ever did. I've played this a lot of times. I don't know why I love it so much. Did you ever do something? You think, well, if I'm going to be known for one thing, I've done hours and hours and hours of radio. And you'll think, well, I can think of a lot of things that I liked better than this, Hardy. I can't. So the following clip is the favorite thing I've ever done. And it's on the Best of Lou CD, which was a premium from a couple of years ago. And
hello, information?
You have reached the Universal Library Hotline.
Hello?
The Universal Information Library of Possible Worlds. State your question.
Hello.
Your question was
below.
Not below. Hello.
What is not bloho?
What is not bloho?
Calculating answer. Bloho headquarters, may I help you?
Oh, hi. I was calling the Possible Worlds Library and I accidentally asked what was not bloho.
Things that are not bloho are like trees or rocket ships or clouds.
Okay.
Loho makes a variety of products for human beings, but it's not a company.
Is this a riddle?
No. I mean, it's a universal benefit organization. Loho makes everything from craft beers to fine porcelain decorative art to farm machinery, all for free and paid for by King Lala's endless imaginary wealth.
It's funny what you can learn from a misunderstanding.
You mean, it's funny the reality misunderstanding can create.
I love getting the wrong number.
Here's a wrong number for you.
214-748-3647.
I just feel like that encapsulates. I'm making up words. Everything that I stand for, everything that I believe in creatively. So, I'm very excited about that I made that. And then I can now die in peace because of that. So there you go. If you don't think that's you might have a favorite thing. I'd love to know what that is. And I probably already played it a couple times. Because you're going on 11 years or something. I'm going on 12 years now. And so I thought I'd never do that. I go, I'm never going to play the same thing twice.
Oh, yes, you will.
No, I won't. Yeah, because, you spend like 12 hours on 3 minutes or something, and you're going to want to play it again. Here's another. This is another sort of artist statement. I'm a composer, primarily. A lot of people think of me as an actor.
Actor.
Or nobility.
Nobility.
And I'm all those things, but I assure you, my principal pursuit has been composition.
Composition.
Not just music.
Music.
But anything. I like to put things next to one another with thought. A lot of times those things are sounds, but not just.
Not just sounds.
When we are together like this, I can put objects and light next to things like sound and music. I first came to live here when I didn't know what to do with my life. I had climbed the job ladder straight from shoe store manager, but I had other aspirations, and so I moved here in hopes that proximity to creative people, to free thinkers, would free me. And it worked to a large extent. But there's so many artists here. It's like a prison for artists. I'm locked in an apartment building with poets. Granted, I've worked it into my own art. But there are monotonous ramblings of madness. But I find inspiration, well, inspiration means to breathe in, and frankly, I'll breathe in anything. Anything is air for my art plans. Oh, what is he talking about? It's funny, that Hans Conried is such a part of the show and everything. And again, it's certain thing is probably maybe from Bullwinkle, or I don't even know. Maybe that's why Edward Everett Horton makes appearances on the show as well. That stuff is really deeply in there. When we learn language very, very early, it's through mimicry. And you're mimicking the sounds, the accents, and everything. Nobody comes into the world with, you're not genetically predisposed to have like a regional accent. You listen to the way that people around you are making vowel sounds, and they need to, they pay. And you just speak the way they do. It's mimicry. Well, when you're very young, and you hear Hans Conried over and over again, then it gets in there, I bet, right? And the same, once upon a time, Everett Horton, because he told many stories, and I listened to them. And so, your voice falls into that. Well, you don't have the voice that sounds like you do that. Everybody's voice, you do imitations and everything. Everybody can do different sounds with it, or you wouldn't be able to speak other languages. And you can learn other languages. And the best times, you know, somebody was telling me I was learning some Japanese phrases, and they just said, try to sound Japanese. You listen to all the movies and everything all the time. You know, do the, you know, don't be worried about doing an impression or anything. That's the sounds you want to be able to make. The same thing with French. You go, oh, I feel like I'm doing a fake French accent. Well, if you try to do your own flat voice when you're speaking French or something, it's going to sound heavily accented. So you want to speak without an accent, you have to imitate.
Bodie Odie,
Bodie Odie,
Bodie Odie,
Bodie Odie,
Bodie Odie, yay!
That was my Eurovision Song Contest song from 3 years ago. I think I played you my ones from this year. But that was the one from 3 years ago. I do one. Every time there's a Eurovision Song Contest, I do one. I put it out there. I know we're not in Europe, but, you know, either is Israel or whatever. There's other countries in there, right, that are not. So there you go. Kentucky. Let's get in it. Let's do it. I wouldn't mind joining. Why can't Kentucky can join the EU?
You go, well, you're going to want to be under a government from the...
We don't have to. We could just say we're doing whatever they say. It's so far away, who's going to check? I mean, when the boss lives out of town, I mean, that feels ideal. So, you know, I like that our government's so far away physically. I don't know what that was, just a bass line that was sitting there in my sound file. Oh my goodness, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org, worldwide, freeform radio, the way the bridge is sounding on the cannabis. Hey, that's the way you like it. And, my goodness, I'm so blessed to be with you every week, and I'll be with you all summer here, and I'm very excited. We're going to go places together. We're going to free our hearts and feel joy, and nobody's going to tell us we can't. I love you, friends. Have a wonderful, peaceful, blessed, healthy week.
Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany.
You look so beautiful tonight. So glad you came over to see me. Hello, baby. You look so beautiful tonight.
After the end of the world.